And we're back with the Barca Real Madrid Weekly.
No!
Dun, dun, dun!
And we're back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yus.
And my name is Adam.
On the breakdown today, Barcelona draw a strong-looking Dortmund in Germany with a fantastic effort by the German wall, Ter Stegen.
Stegen!
And we will discuss the Champions League game and how Barcelona planned for the upcoming group stage and with our La Liga schedule.
So, and it's a tale of two cities, I feel like, home and away, but we'll break it down in a little bit. Like we always say, if you guys can give us a review on iTunes, give us some stars, follow us on iTunes or Spotify, that would be awesome. We want to shout out
my boy, I Am Kanye. Thank you for the wonderful review.
Hope you have a nice commute today.
Yeah, please do.
Let's get into it. Egg on both of our faces. We were totally wrong.
Yeah.
Neither of us believed in Ernie and Ansu Fati. Starting lineup comes out. What do you see?
Well,
Ansu Fati.
Yeah, Fati came out, and I mean, he broke history with it, right?
True.
So us assuming that he wasn't going to start wasn't necessarily a bad call. It was very surprising, honestly.
So the lineup was exactly the same, right? So back for what we're going to see almost all season, I think. If Jordi's healthy, Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, Semedo, midfield, the trio we wanted to see,
again.
Except I wanted to see Rakitic in there, but we'll get into how his game went. Arthur, Boussy, Frankie de Jong, and then up front, we had Griezmann, Suarez, Fati.
Yes.
So not only did, there were some interesting things here. Not only did Fati come in for Perez, but he also went to the wing.
Left side.
Yeah, left side, which he was not before. And I think that kind of is part of the issues he ended up having during the game. He looked less comfortable on that side. As well, he's 16 years old in a Champions League game in a crazy stadium in Dortmund. Fun fact, actually, I didn't know this until just like 2 days ago. This was Messi's first time ever playing in Dortmund.
Yeah, I saw that too.
No, you don't get to see that often.
No.
So
he made
cool.
a comment on it too. He was excited. He wanted to be there and... Unfortunately, he didn't get to play the whole time, but we predicted that based on his injury.
So what did you think seeing the lineup?
I was super surprised. When I texted you this morning when I saw it, and I was like, wow, Fati's starting. That's crazy. This
Fati
is breaking
mania.
The record. Fati mania, as you say. Hashtag Fati mania, you know.
It's going global.
Yeah, it's going global. I would say that I was a little nervous because knowing Fati being 16 years old, I knew this is not an easy team to play against. I was worried that he might have a little trouble keeping the ball because even in the game against Valencia, he...
After that first 10 minutes?
Yeah, he totally kind of fell off a little bit. And that's okay. It's expected. But I thought maybe it wasn't necessarily his fault because if you look at Griezmann and Suarez, they also had a hard time. I would account part of this to the defense of Dortmund. They were pretty on point. We only had... one shot on target out of seven total shots. Like, they held us back, for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was super interesting. One thing I definitely noticed that was very similar to Valencia, which I commented on the last pod, which was only 2 days ago. Good to hear from you guys again. Was that there was this interesting situation against Valencia where Perez was so far to the right that Frankie was pushing up. So almost he was playing, like, on the right wing, but just Perez was so far to the right that there was two of them over there. And in this game as well, when it started, we had Fati so far on the right that Frankie was again pushing up. And so it was really interesting. And, you know, this is kind of the duality of the game. First half, I thought, was much more positive. Second half was really bad.
Yeah.
Yes, really bad and sketchy. And our only shot on goal was Messi at the last second.
True.
But what I thought was interesting was how we started out so wide. And then once Alba got hurt, I think that was definitely a huge inflection point in the game that kind of turned things around, right? So Alba goes down. They move Semedo over to his spot as the right back, left back. And then they put Sergi in for right back. Thought Sergi did well. But it kind of gave me, you know, on the one hand, Valverde, I praise him. He started, you know, Frankie and Arthur. I thought that was a smart move. And he also started Fati, showing faith in the youth that we talked about last week. That's kind of... hopefully this new page turning in Barca. At the same time, the second half really gave me some moments where it looked just like last season and some of the negative aspects of our offense last season, which is Exactly like I explained last podcast. It's basically like when you put Messi in and he is quote-unquote on paper the right wing, but because of the way he has to generate all the offense in the team, he's playing in the middle. Again, I found the situation where, you know, there wasn't that Carlos Perez or Fati pushing in the two wings, and it was instead, you know, Messi kind of in the middle, Griezmann and Suarez kind of in the middle to the left, and, you know, Sergio Roberto's offensive mind a lot of times is to run in, and a lot of times that creates some great interplay with Suarez and Messi, but again, the second half really felt like there wasn't any of that width there that I was so happy for, you know, in the Valencia game and as well as in the first half. So, you know, I think one of the things we're going to have to watch going forward is if we play Messi, we need someone else on that right wing, I think. Or, you know, the other side of the coin, he's back training this week, Dembouz, he can add some width on the left side as well. But that was one of the big things I noticed was that disparity in width. I guess focusing more on the first half and kind of what you said to start with, really the star of our game had to be Stegen.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought the only reason we drew was because of Stegen.
100%.
He blocked probably, I think it was about four shots that I would say two of them should have gone in.
I saw that their expected goals, that stat was around 3.6, whereas ours was like 0.6.
No, yeah, ours should not even been one, honestly. Yeah, not even wasn't. Close, no. I thought he did a good job cutting down corners and just making the Dortmund offense a little nervous because he was just being solid. He didn't look nervous. He looked very confident, even when he made that huge save against Royce,
that one-on-one.
Yeah, he super calm, just like, let's keep doing this. It's okay. I'll cover, but...
So, Stegen saved us. Uh-huh. First clean sheet, fifth game of the season.
Don't say that, please.
First clean sheet the whole season after your whole Zamora Trophy prediction. Know. Which,
it was
anyways.
It was a dream.
It was a dream. Oblak's too good.
I will say, though, I do want to ask you, what did you think about his Valverde's subs? Obviously, we talked about this. We thought Messi was going to get subbed in. But having Rakitic come in for Busi, I believe, and... what was the other sub?
Semedo for Alba.
That's right.
Well, okay. I mean, I think, to be honest, I feel like a lot of his strategy was kind of killed because Alba got injured. Because I feel like in the first half, what he did was he put Fati on the right, Griezmann on the left. And I think with Alba bombing forward on that left side, it gave Griezmann some opportunity to kind of occupy the left wing as well as move centrally and interplay with Suarez. One of the positives offensively from this game for me is certainly seeing Suarez and Griezmann play some 1-2s. I thought there was some time with, you know, where they looked like they had some serious threat. You throw Messi in there, you know, that's kind of what we've always been wanting to see. But once Alba got hurt, I feel like the whole plan broke down. And then on top of that, like we discussed, Fati wasn't looking as comfortable on the left. So
yeah.
So I think originally, you know, I think part of the reason his subs were less impactful is because he had to take out Alba. And I think taking out Alba kind of...
crippled, like, his plan.
Yeah, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then you put Semedo on the left side where he's not comfortable. And so, you know, even though he looked good offensively on that left side, defensively, it was some classic Swiss cheese, right?
Hashtag Swiss cheese.
But I thought Raki for Busi, I mean, there was a period less last season, more two seasons ago, where we experimented with Raki in that holding position and kind of the way Valverde's offense, and, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse here because I've said it so many times, but part of what Valverde has done to Rakitic, in my opinion, is make him kind of a more of a holding player than like an offensive mm-hmm. push-forward player. But I got to say, Yus, just calm down here.
Here we go. But There's an attack coming on Raki.
But for a guy who is struggling to get a spot, and there's all these questions about him and whether or not he's in our future plans and whether or not he's even in the plans of this season, if he's going to leave in the winter, he did not really go out there and perform like a player who's fighting for a spot in the team.
I would agree, but I almost think that he didn't have much of a choice in the gameplay that was going on. I thought that the midfield had to play a very weird game for the last, I would say, 20 minutes of the game. And I think that's a little around where he got subbed in. The midfield was playing kind of a back pass game and trying to spread the defense out in the front, but it wasn't working. And it turned out that when they tried to push the ball forward, it was way too crowded.
Because there's no width.
Yeah, there was no width. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the midfield had an issue of producing anything because there was nothing to produce. The defense was already stonewalled. There was nobody causing any breaks and clearing room. So the reason I wanted to ask you about Valverde's subs was because I felt that he subbed out the midfield a little too much when I expected something that could have been more of a forward sub.
Sure. And I think to answer your question, there's a few things I want to say. One, 4 years and one day since Luis Suarez has scored an away Champions League goal. That's just a fact, guys. Listen, I love Luis Suarez, but that's a fact. And, you know, let's try to stay away from our season doom and gloom predictions about Suarez in late stage of the Champions League. But just for this game, he's coming back from an injury. This is his first 90 minutes played.
The thing about that, though, is last game he came out and scored two.
True, but that doesn't mean that his, you know, after having some time off, that doesn't mean that his fitness is all there.
True.
But even if he was fit, I'll agree with you here. I need to see some games where we have Antoine Griezmann up front and Suarez as a sub. I don't see the long term Suarez being our starter and goal scorer, and even in the short term, I want to see, you know, I don't know if necessarily false nine Messi is what I'm saying, but I definitely want to see two players on the wings with Messi more centrally and Griezmann as a striker. You know what I'm saying? I need to see some width, and let's talk about the midfield. Arthur, wonderful game everywhere. Mm-hmm. De Jong, still trying to fit in. I also thought he had a pretty good game. There were some moments out there, especially in the first half, where he was defending crazy. You also got to shout out Griezmann, and his defense was also great today. And this is a constant issue with Arthur somewhat, is that sometimes he's not always looking to make that forward pass. Now, there is kind of a chicken or an egg type thing here, in my opinion, which is like, well, can you make a pass if no one's making a run? Who was making a run on that team today? Right, but then are they not making runs because the defense is congested, because there's not enough width? You know, there's like a bunch of problems simmering with our offense that existed all of last year.
We got to boil it down to what's the real issue, and it's too crowded during this. Oh, well, I'm going to go a little to the side here and say Valverde seemed like he was not
happy
doing enough, and he was not happy.
He was definitely yelling, which is kind of a newer Valverde thing, which I enjoyed.
Well, he was shaking his head at some of these plays, and there were some weird things going on with, like, people holding the ball too long, I think, and that may have been part of the frustration. Like, you're right about the runs, but I also feel like people were not taking some chances.
Hmm. Who are you speaking of? Because in my opinion, Arthur and De Jong weren't really trying to go as forward as before. And then again...
Yeah. I
would
say Arthur.
16 years old. He also didn't have that same, you know, he was making runs. That was part of those first two goals in the Valencia game.
No, I agree.
It's because Fati's making runs.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that because they moved him to the left side.
Right
side, which was a little confusing.
Yeah. Arthur's game was good. I just thought he hesitated too much. There was points where he would do a turn and try to, like, get away from maybe a defender, and then he would see somebody moving, and then he decided not to make that pass. And I saw it happen a couple times, which in my head, I wanted him to take those chances because nothing was happening. And when nothing's happening, you kind of have to, I don't want to say force things, because when you do force things, more mistakes happen. That can cause maybe a counter on us, and then we let up a goal. We don't want that. I would say also that Frankie looked generally congested. But Arthur and Frankie both fought for the ball when they lost it, which shows that they didn't give up, which I really appreciated, and they kept that energy up the whole time.
And let's just be honest, right? One of the big kind of things that's out that we're not talking about is there's just a clear and notable difference in our performance at home versus away.
Agreed.
And, you know, I'm thinking back on it... even when Luis Enrique was coach, right, the remontada against PSG, we got outscored at home, and then we come home and we have the unbelievable comeback. But definitely all of Valverde's tenure, in my opinion, and then even some years, maybe a year or two before that, Atletico and Juventus, we just haven't been able to play away nearly at the level we play at home, which, you know, of course there's going to be some discrepancy. The home field, mm-hmm. you got the Camp Nou, you got all the Barca supporters. At the same time, though, our away form is so atrocious. And Dortmund, I thought, actually did play well. They had a good defense, and, you know, they were unlucky to not score at least one goal. But if, you know, we're playing against Liverpool, except for today, Man City, we're playing against, you know, do I think Hazard puts away some of those chances if it's a Clasico? Yeah. So, you know, we got away with a draw today in undoubtedly our toughest of the six matches in the group stage we'll play. This is our hardest one. We got a draw. It's not the world isn't over. But there are some glaring holes in away matches that we can't just sit back and not talk about.
Agreed. Especially having to have a penalty given up. And luckily, we got it saved.
Yeah. I can't believe we didn't talk about that yet, man. Stegen, I saw that in the Champions League. He saved 4 of the last 7 mm-hmm. penalties he's faced.
That's a crazy stat, honestly.
And let's not let Neuer just float out here. He came out and he was, you know, we talked about how Stegen was saying he wants to start for Germany. And then Neuer came out the other day and was like, how disrespectful. Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
I know Stegen came out in Germany and was like, yo, I'm going to show what a boss I am. I even saw Iker Casillas put out a tweet. Stegen's sensational. Bleacher Report had some great pics of Stegen. All around, just clearly Stegen was doing really well. I got to get my Messi fanboy out a little bit. I thought he looked very sharp for his first game back in like 6 weeks. Obviously didn't score. Obviously wish he could have scored. But I thought, you know, overall I was happy. Didn't look like he wasn't grabbing his calf. No Pubalgia showing up.
Oh, no. I forgot about Pubalgia.
Yeah, I thought overall he did well. Yeah, I mean, you know, Dortmund marked well. It's just how do we solve these offensive problems? That's really going to be the key. I think, like I said, my kind of wish is to see more opportunities of Griezmann up front as the lone striker without Suarez there. I mean, you know, could he not have been fit? Is he just coming back from injury? Like I said, yes. At the same time, though, sometimes it legit seems like he has like stone blocks around his feet. Right? He never makes an effort to go to a pass to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like waiting to receive it and then trying to use his body to do some sort of turn or maneuver or, you know, some sort of crazy movement around a defender. I just don't think it's going to cut it for us this year.
He's also doing it against some of these young players, these defensive players that have a lot more energy, quicker than him. I think he just needs to realize that he is getting older. And he should adjust his gameplay to accommodate those things. And I kind of do like the point that you mentioned earlier. We should use Suarez more of a sub and let some of these players open up the field. Because it seems like when Suarez has a little more energy later in the game, he almost is more willing to do things.
I 100% agree with you. But it's one of those sports situations. It's like it's like this offseason NBA, right? Everyone's trying to sign Carmelo to be a role player. It's like, can you have Carmelo Anthony be a role player? Can you have Luis Suarez be a super sub? I just don't know if he's able to do it. Not just like in terms of a sense of pride, but there's also like a sense of ultra competitiveness in someone like Luis Suarez, right? Sure. That causes you to bite a few people and mm-hmm. get that handball in the World Cup. And I just don't know if you can take that type of ambition and competitiveness and then like put it in a bottle and then like let it out, you know, for 30 minutes a game. I just don't think he's going to accept it of himself or be able to really thrive in that type of position. Might be best for the team.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it would happen.
I totally
like today.
Get you.
I mean, even if you start him, even today, it should have been Suarez out, not Fati out, in my opinion.
Interesting. I just thought Fati was more shut down, but I guess both of them really were. Any last comments on the game? Did you think we needed
I'm worried.
About the group stage?
About this whole season, man.
Interesting.
I don't know, I
have my own doubts about certain
Of course.
Things. Yeah.
It's a constant swing fest, and I'm just afraid we're settling into this new reality where we're going to have a pod after every game, and after the home game, we're going to cheer on, oh my God, Carlos Perez, Fati, De Jong had these great games. Maybe they're finally getting in. And then there's going to be an away game, and it's going to be, oh, we didn't have enough width. Oh, you know, why did they just sit back and then hit us on the counter and score, right? I don't think we mentioned it too much today, but there were a few times where crosses came into the box. And
definitely.
I thought they were going to score, you know?
They almost did, and they should have, honestly.
And
that's the big thing.
That's my big fear here is that
we need more consistency. We need to consistently look like we are willing to play the game at a high level and look to score. Because it didn't look like today we were looking to score, even though we had like one good chance, I would say. It just didn't look like, at no point in the game was I thinking we are going to score here. I was hoping for it, but every moment I looked to see a play form, nothing came out of it.
Here's my question to you, Yusuf.
Mm-hmm.
Did you at all today think, because this thought ran across my mind, if I'm being honest, I saw that team today, I saw the game, and I thought to myself, man, Neymar Jr. Would have been able to open that up. I mean, that's part of the issue is, again, I don't feel like we're using Griezmann well, but like, there's a certain type of player that Neymar falls in that group. Obviously, Messi, Ronaldo. Like, I think even people like Hazard and
there are people who can create things from
nothing. And I just don't know if we have the player who's going to be able to do that in big moments when we need it. Besides the GOAT, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, now of course we're being classic, selfish, entitled Barca fans to think that we could have two of those players, right? I just listed off how many there are in the world, and it's less than seven probably. And the idea that we could have two is like pretty ridiculous. But at the same time, I mean, you know, if we expect, you know, the biggest club in the world to win titles and compete out there, it does feel like there's going to be times this season, like there was last season and the season before, where they put 10 men behind the ball, they weather our first storm, and then they hit us on the counter, score. Okay, oh my God, now we only have a 2-goal lead. Hit us on the counter, score. You know what I'm saying? There's not that player besides Messi who can go out and just dominate. And that worries me. And I thought today, for the first time, I was like, wow, we had Neymar Jr. right now. It'd be really, really helpful.
See, when I think of that, I think of if we started with Neymar, he would create maybe some width in the beginning of the game. But if that falls apart early, this is my issue with the game today. And I think this is the biggest point that I was bothered by was the subs that we had. The subs that we put in just didn't create an offensive change. It seemed to only solidify trading out people to have endurance in the midfield, really. And that wasn't a very offensive mindset because I was looking to have a score or look for a goal, and that didn't happen.
True.
You may be right with the Neymar Jr. if we had him. Would that change? I'm sure it would. I mean, undoubtedly, he's a spectacular player, and a fast player, a great scorer. He's everything you can imagine. And I have a hard time saying I would want him there to see what would happen. I don't know. I'm split on the decision, and we've talked about this, but
all right, here's my next question about wrapping up the game. I would have rather had Arturo Vidal on the field than Ivan Rakitic.
I thought the same thing, honestly. I didn't say it.
Try to
hide
that,
I thought
huh?
The same thing. Well, but that goes to the fact that Vidal would have been the player to come in to split the defense or at least be a workhorse. Rakitic came in, and he just looked like he was kind of securing the ball and making passes. It wasn't really a forward-moving mindset. But what else can I say, you know?
And this is like the golden issue. I mean, I've said that probably about five issues in this episode, but like the real big thing here is that I think the solution to a lot of our problems is literally right in front of us. If he could just have his hamstrings not fail.
Dimboos!
Right? I mean, think about it. We're talking about creating something out of nothing. We're talking about, you know, providing an outlet for the midfield to pass forward to, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the issues we're talking about, Ousmane Dembele is the key.
Imagine if we had Dembele to switch out Suarez. That would have been very nice for us. Unfortunately, and I think as Messi said, he just needs to be more professional and he needs to take care of himself. But
I wish I could just somehow, like, give my hamstrings to Ousmane, you know?
Maybe he needs to do more strength work. Maybe he's...
Well, or he'll be like Arthur and drink too much protein, right?
Maybe. He doesn't seem like it.
Well, that was the game. You know,
we're mixed, as you can tell.
Some doom and gloom, a few very sparse bright spots. What else happened in Group F? So the big thing was that Inter Milan almost lost at home against...
Yeah, they scored a late 90-plus-2-minute goal to tie it.
But that really helps us, that one of their home games they drew against the worst team in the group, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, none of us are hoping that we get second, but this is the group of death, and that puts us in a good position to... You know, they lost probably their easiest game. They drew their most easiest game, and we drew our hardest game, mm-hmm. which just automatically sets us up for...
first or second, almost.
Hopefully.
As long as we don't mess up against Inter.
True. And then around the Champions League, our nemesis and the defending champions of Europe, Liverpool, lost to Napoli 2-0.
Big game. Big game.
True. You know, they're just so good that I think they're going to overcome it, but it was interesting to see. And then La Liga showing up. Valencia beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, that's a big deal as well.
Rodrigo got a nice goal. I also saw, I think it was Ross Barkley. Willian was like, yo, let me take the penalty. He's like, no, I got it. And he just missed
really?
It.
Really? That's what happened?
He missed it.
Oh, man. Imagine being that player at home and you, I don't know, maybe got nervous.
True. I mean, at one point, it's sick that he was like all confident. Other hand, you got to back it up, right?
Well, it looks like in the group stage, everybody's tied for us in the group F. So that's an okay start. But we do have some stuff coming up in the La Liga schedule incorporated with the next Champions League game. So
unbelievably, we have a game with the team neck and neck with us this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. 7 points. We're playing Granada, and I believe it's away, and that's going to be this Saturday. And then the following Tuesday, we're playing Villarreal at the Camp Nou. The following Saturday, we're going to be playing against Getafe, which we sometimes have a slight issue with. But they're
also,
what?
That Getafe game, I don't know if you guys remember, we had a Quote Me On It session at the beginning of the season where we made some predictions for the team through that game.
True.
The first 7 games of the league. So be ready for a lot of egg on our faces. Be ready for us to... admit to some of our wrongs.
Well, why don't you
some of the hosts more than others.
Wow. Taking shots. Why don't you guys send us some predictions for the games and you guys can have some egg on your face.
Yeah, we'll shout you out. Hey, if you outpredict us, we'll give you all the praise.
Yeah.
I mean, just for the Dortmund game, right? We didn't even go over this. You predicted 1-1. I predicted 3-1.
No, I predicted 2-1. You predicted 3-1.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Yeah, 0 points for the hosts of the Barca breakdown.
True.
I think we're at 0 points this whole time.
I think a 0.5 somewhere in there. I got a half a point.
You know, I actually reviewed something, and you did gain a point for, I missaid it. You got a Griezmann assist.
Boom.
So you did have a point, I believe.
All right, well, let's get on the calendar here. Granada away this Saturday. What do you predict?
Ooh, they're drawing with us right now in points. I'm going to go 2-0.
Who scores?
Barca, obviously, and I'm going to go with, every time I predict this, I'm wrong, which is awful.
That's all your predictions, but keep going.
I'm going to go with a Suarez goal, which is weird, but that and a Griezmann goal. I'm hoping that they're working together, and I hope that we see something manifest itself, and we create something out of nothing, possibly.
4-1. Lionel Messi hat trick. Griezmann scores. Thank you guys for listening.
God.
That was hot. Hot
that
take,
was a
right?
hot take. Okay.
I'm a hot take machine. How about that?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Oh.
okay, guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you...
Saturday, right after the game.
Yeah.
We're not messing around this
Be
season.
Be prepared.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.